This is Brian Cambria with news for the Western Slope, Thursday, June 13, 2013. Colorado Parks and Wildlife officials say a mountain lion ate a colt near Cedar Edge last week, and they have euthanized a bear that killed about 40 chickens near Paonia. KVNF's Marty Derlin has more.
When wildlife are a danger to livestock or people, it's up to the state's Park and Wildlife Agency to put them down. Last year, about 45 wild animals were shot or euthanized in the Muddy Creek area of Delta and Gunnison counties, mostly for predation of sheep. Last week, a female black bear, about 2 years old, hit two chicken farms in the area. The bear first invaded a small chicken pen on Rogers Mesa, and like many bears, it was initially attracted by garbage.
The bear got into the trash a couple nights while it was there, and also got into the chicken pen just one night. And then it moved down the river toward Paonia, and it got into that chicken pen over a six-night period 5 times. And killed chickens each time, and looked like it was actually hauling the chickens down into the river bottom, into the brush to eat them. And it did have a few that it ate right there in the chicken coop, but there was also a trail of feathers that led right down into the brush pile where the bear was hanging around and sleeping during the day. My speculation on this it's probably was an orphan from last summer. We had a sow killed in that same vicinity on the highway last summer, and we had a couple cubs that were hanging around that were acting kind of like they didn't have a mother. And this bear was just the right age to be from last summer orphan cub, and ended up probably just was in the area and found some chickens and thought, maybe I can get those, and went ahead and tried and was successful. And they learn very, very quickly. They're very smart, and they remember things well. And so once they figure out how to get a certain food source, they're going to stick with it because it's successful.
The bear was tracked by the Department of Agriculture's Wildlife Services using dogs who picked up the scent at the chicken farm and didn't have to go too far.
Started right at the chickens where the bear left the chicken pen, right on its trail, and it was within 100 yards of the chicken pen where it was bedded down. And the dogs followed it probably a good 3 miles up Terror Creek to the north.
Adult black bears, even those who are termed small, are as big as adult humans.
This two-year-old that was killed last week was maybe 125 pounds, up to as big as the real, real big ones might be 500. And the average is maybe around 250.
Wildlife officers say that owners of small livestock should secure their animals in sturdy enclosures at night and at dusk and dawn to protect them from bears as well as mountain lions, bobcats, coyotes, and raccoons. And Madriaga has some advice for us.
Very careful about garbage, barbecue grills. Keep them clean. Try to keep them away from where a bear can get them. Bird feeders, hummingbird and seed feeders are an attractant to bears. Mulch piles, compost piles will definitely attract bears.
For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin, cleaning up my compost and securing my gate.
Oh, my. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that Mesa County commissioners voted unanimously Tuesday to approve a conditional use permit for a natural gas processing plant west of Dubec. The plant, proposed by site owner Red Rock Gathering Company of Brighton, would compress raw natural gas and extract impurities on a 40-acre site on V and 2/10 Road. 10 acres would be devoted to at least one 65-foot demethanizer tower, a 56-foot flare tower, tanks, buildings, and 3 compressors with the possibility of adding up to 6 more. Red Rock representative Loam Prescott said the company anticipates the plant will run constantly, but employees will not always be present. He estimated up to 4 vehicles will go in and out of the site each day and said the flare will operate only during maintenance or emergency periods. He said compressors will be placed in buildings lined with sound buffering material to keep noise at night below 50 decibels at 350 feet, which is required by the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. Prescott told commissioners that Red Rock chose the site because of its proximity to the Trans-Colorado Pipeline and other oil and gas facilities. Debec resident Kim Heidel is the closest neighbor to the plant site and said the plant will reduce a residential property value, property that was repossessed. I'm sorry, will replace a residential property that was repossessed. The county measured 1,900 feet between the center of the site and Heidel's property. Prescott said the back edge of the plant would be 1,588 feet from Heidel's home, although she estimates the distance would be close to the 350 feet. Quoting Heidel, "I've spent 15 years paying for it and working on it, and now there's this thing moving into my front yard." Heidel told commissioners the odors and noise produced by a compressor station will force her from her home. When asked by Commissioner Rose Pugliese if there was anything Red Rocks could do to make the plant easier to live with, Heidel responded that a dirt berm may muffle sound noise, some noise, but would not eliminate it or address any smells. Commissioners added to the list of permanent conditions for Red Rocks that the company create a berm west of the plant as long as it does not interfere with the site's stormwater mitigation plan. Meanwhile, small amounts of benzene were again detected in nearby Parachute Creek after a natural gas spill 6 months ago. The creek had tested clean in the past 2.5 weeks. The North Fork Merchant Herald reports that Regna Jones came before the Paonia Town Council Tuesday night requesting a renewal of the liquor license for the Paradise Theater. Jones, who had previously decided to relinquish her lease, announced that she was not only renewing the liquor license but had also renewed her lease of the Paradise for 6 months with an option for an additional 6 months. She told the council that the new artistic director-manager of the Paradise would be Amy DeLuca, who directed last year's Cherry Days Festival, as well as the most recent Paonia Film Festival. Aiding DeLuca will be a group of Friends of the Paradise, which included Jim and Elaine Brett, Marilee Talbot, and others. The building and business remain on the market, and the long-term goal is to find a new owner for the building while keeping the theater lit and serving the community in the interim. The last-minute rescue by Jones and Friends was timely since the liquor license was set to expire on June 16th and the previous lease on the 30th. Jones said the key to keeping the theater open would be community support, saying, "Come and patronize the theater. It's really important now." She said that there would be a variety of events at the theater over the coming months. These include a schedule of movies, an acting camp during June, a Slow Foods, Food, Farm, and Film Festival, August 16th through 18th, and a variety of events during the Mountain Harvest Festival in September. Additional challenges for keeping the theater open in the long term include how to pay for installation of new digital projection equipment, estimated to cost in the $80,000 range. Jones said that 35mm film prints would be phased out by the industry at the end of the year. Now here's an update on some of the fires burning in Colorado. As of last night, the Royal Gorge Fire remains at about 3,100 acres and 20% containment. The original estimated 3,800 burned acres was reduced after fire officials were able to take a better look at the fire yesterday morning. According to the Denver Post, 20 structures at the Royal Gorge Bridge and Park were destroyed by the fire, including both buildings for the aerial tram. The tram car and the incline building were destroyed, as were many of the buildings on the south side of the bridge, with the exception of the theater. The Royal Gorge Bridge is intact, but did sustain minor fire damage. Evacuation orders remain in place east of County Road 3 and 3A on the west side of the Royal Gorge Park and south of US 50 up to the water treatment plant. There have been no evacuations from Canyon City. US 50 remains closed from First Street in Canyon City to Colorado State Highway 9. The Big Meadows fire in Rocky Mountain National Park grew to an estimated 600 acres yesterday with no containment. The fire is burning in remote, steep, rugged terrain with extensive hazards and more than 80% beetle-killed trees. Firefighters plan to hold the fire east of Trail Ridge Road, west of the Continental Divide, and north of Tonahutu Creek. There are no structures or communities at immediate risk. Currently, there are 7 trails that are temporarily closed in the area. All major roads and facilities in Rocky Mountain National Park are open. So far, the Black Forest fire has prompted the evacuation of nearly 9,500 people, destroyed 92 homes, and burned about 8,500 acres. The fire is expected to continue to grow. Today's forecast calls for shifting, gusty winds, even hotter temperatures, and a threat of dry lightning. The Denver Post reports the fire spread northwest and northeast on Wednesday, prompting new evacuations in Elbert County. Colorado Springs sought voluntary evacuations in northern areas. Treacherous winds caused the flames to double back in areas previously spared, and there has been no containment. No injuries or fatalities have been recorded, although, according to the Post, there were reports of people who refused to evacuate, and one person was reported missing. Smoke from the fires is affecting areas beyond the fire's reach. Denver International Airport adjusted runway use yesterday due to heavy smoke. The Ride the Rockies bike tour, which is in its 5th day, is also planning for fire and smoke. On Friday, the planned route goes from Salida and straight into a dangerous fire zone, US 50, the Royal Gorge Bridge, and Canyon City, to be specific. And there's plenty of speculation, but no real details on what the backup plan may be. Race director Chandler Smith said Wednesday afternoon that a new route is being negotiated with the State Patrol and the Colorado Department of Transportation, with only the finish in Canyon City certain. You may recall that last year's tour was affected by the High Park fire west of Fort Collins. And finally this morning, in this day and age, many of us keep up with the people and things we love through our connection to the Internet. You could say our tribal connections are directly related to our Internet connections. The Internet is critical for business and education as well. We're becoming so dependent that our Internet connection is as much a utility as electricity and water. With only a few exceptions, the days of dial-up are long gone. Most people who are online use one type of high-speed connection or another, and when that connection starts to slow down, we notice. Much like a phone line, Internet connections allow two-way communication of data. With streaming video services like Netflix and Hulu, these lines are increasingly used to capacity. John Gavin is the IT director at Delta Libraries and on the board at Delta County Economic Development. He's been championing a particular solution to this problem.
Everyone knows when the kids come home from school around 3 o'clock, you know, the performance of their service goes way down.
Now, Delta Montrose Electric Association is proposing a potentially game-changing alternative, and a number of people and organizations are ringing the bell in support, Gavin among them. DMEA is planning to install fiber optic cable on all their transmission routes to their substations to support automation and smart grid initiatives. Their operations would use only a fraction of that bandwidth, leaving, according to Dan McClendon, DMEA general manager, an opportunity. The idea is that other Internet service providers could begin serving some of the rural communities within Delta and Montrose counties that are currently underserved. The advantage for these new players is that they would have a competitive connection to the Internet backbone, where now those options are limited. John Gavin.
With this capacity, we think we can start to offer much higher rate services, and that just opens up all kinds of new service possibilities. You know, streaming video, your phone services, everything on one pipe, all at the same time. In talking to small last mile providers around the county and in Montrose County, they're chafing at the bit. they are going to these meetings and following this very closely because they see this as a total disruptive technology that could completely change their business model. So I think there's this huge pent-up of new entrants that are ready to jump into this business if we can solve the middle mile cost problem.
The idea for cheaper, more accessible broadband for the Western Slope is not new. Back in 1998, DMEA joined with other rural electric co-ops and an internet entrepreneur to string fiber optic cable between Albuquerque and Grand Junction with the idea of doing something just like this. It fell apart, but the line remained unused, unlit in fiber optic parlance. Not everyone is on board, however. An official at TDS noted previous attempts to establish broadband that ended in financial ruin and said that DMEA shouldn't be allowed to get into the telecom business if TDS can't offer electricity. At their May 28th meeting, DMEA's board of directors voted to fund additional research into the project. Their annual meeting is tomorrow morning in Hotchkiss. More competition among providers should lead to lower prices and greater opportunity for consumers who want fast, reliable internet service. But will DMEA's innovative plan actually come to fruition? And if it does, will those of us in touch via internet see a positive difference? Logging off for KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.